Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. With so much going on around the world in general, every single day to discuss, it becomes difficult to pick and choose which stories to put into this show every day. You know, much of which going on out there is designed to pull your attention away from things that those pulling the strings may find to be the most important. And it is indeed difficult to continue to pick those every day. I often get messages and emails from people asking me to focus more on things going on inside the country. And I believe me, I do take those to heart. But I think it's important to point out, at least in, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, the things that I try to cover every day, some of which are about domestic policy and things affecting us within this country. But the point is that all the things that I discuss do affect us within this country. All of it, including the things going on overseas. And in my opinion, in most cases, those are the most important in regard to how we're perceived around the world and how our tax dollars are being spent and how that in relation affects what's happening in this country. And in the point being that those tax dollars could in fact be spent on the very things that are happening in this country. The reason being that I point this out is because I do focus a lot, especially lately, on what's going on overseas. And I wanted to point that out. And now today, in fact, I do have a story directly related to what's going on in this country about 5G. So make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end, which we'll be discussing that story. But I felt it important and pertinent to point that out for those. Trust me, I do hear your calls for things that are happening within this country. But understand that everything we discuss in Syria, in Yemen, our allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, allies with the U.S. oligarchy, directly affect our daily lives. And that's very important to understand. For the first story of the day, I want to make sure and touch on a slight, well, actually the first couple stories today are slight follow-ups on things that we've discussed. Not necessarily breaking news, but things that I found incredibly important to preface what else we're going to discuss today. The first one coming from Mint Press News, written by Whitney Webb, always doing an excellent job, entitled 17 Years After 9/11, U.S. Counts Al-Qaeda Among Its Allies in Syria, Yemen, and I would add in other places as well. This is a very important article, something of which I touched on more than once in my 9/11 special, as well as before this. But this is very important to understand, and I felt extremely important to reiterate, even after 9/11, the reality of what that statement actually means. So, less than two decades after the attacks of September 11th, the U.S. government has now effectively allied with Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda terrorist group, that it has long blamed for executing and planning those attacks. Despite the U.S. illegally invading and occupying Afghanistan and Iraq, to name a couple, and use the lies behind these actions to begin the years-long war of terror as a means of allegedly countering Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, Washington has long since been exposed for making deals with and protecting and arming Al-Qaeda in countries like Yemen and Syria. And it's important for that to really resonate with us in regard to the topics we're discussing every single day on this channel. That they are now effectively cooperating with them. And as Associated Press has confirmed, mainstream media, which it shouldn't give it any more credence than what I'm saying, but for some it does, actually cooperating with Al-Qaeda in Yemen. It's important to understand that. Now, they effectively have just simply changed their name over the years in an effort to manipulate the average person from understanding what they still are. The U.S. was working with Al-Qaeda, and that's really nothing new when you understand its history. It's only just kind of now breaking its way into the mainstream groupthink, and I would argue due to the efforts, tireless, ceaseless efforts of the independent media and those of you supporting them. Back in 2016, an al-Nusra Front commander told a German newspaper that when the Al-Qaeda-linked group was besieged by Syrian and Russian forces, quote, we had officers from Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and America here. Experts in the use of satellites, rockets, reconnaissance, and thermal security cameras that helped prevent the group's defeat. Now think on that statement in regard to the recent discussion of 200 UK-US troops that were trapped, and reportedly trapped, and caught in Idlib. And think about that and what they may have been doing in preparing there with this Al-Qaeda held area. Now, when asked specifically whether U.S. officers were present back in 2016, this officer of Al-Qaeda, the Al-Nusra, ultimately one and the same when you really understand the history, this commander stated that, quote, "the Americans are on our side," end quote. Now, of course, you can take what he says with a grain of salt, as anything we should be questioning, everything we see. But this is just one of many, many things we have in front of us to show that this is, in fact, the case. Now, a year later, the U.S., again, aided al-Nusra by removing the group from Washington's terror watch list, despite the fact that it is an al-Qaeda branch. Again, something very important for us to recognize, that they'd made the effort to remove them from the list. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The removal took place after al-Nusra Front changed its name to Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the group we're talking about today in Idlib, al-Qaeda, following which the U.S. declined to add the group's updated name to the terror watch list, despite the State Department literally stating in a press briefing that this was just a ploy by al-Qaeda. This group is not added to the terror list today. Now remember, the group we're talking about is the group the U.S. government still maintains today were the ones behind the 9/11 attacks. So the U.S. government puts on a grand show of disingenuous patriotism and never forget presentations for those who lost their loved ones on 9/11, all while openly working with the group that they claim killed those very loved ones. Think about that for a moment. Think about what it takes to do something like that, especially in regard to someone like Nikki Haley, in regard to the discussion of Syria today, and the lies disingenuously and disgustingly being forced onto people's consciousness by Nikki Haley and many others. And I think that topic is very important for us to really grasp, that they're currently supporting the group that they shed these crocodile tears over on the memorial for 9/11. Now, in regard to Nikki Haley and these horrendous comments that she's making in the next story, coming from antiwar.com, this one entitled, "Haley Threatens Dire Consequences for Iran-Russia Over Syria Offensive." Now, knowing all of this that we just discussed, all the connections and everything, it is especially despicable that Nikki Haley literally said on 9/11, in front of the United Nations, that Russia and Iran would face dire consequences if they continue to back a Syrian military offensive against al-Qaeda in Idlib. Well, of course, she calls them rebels, but as we have repeatedly pointed out, the State Department themselves have stated repeatedly that it is, in fact, a al-Qaeda stronghold.
In Idlib province, Idlib province is the largest al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11, tied directly to Ayman al-Zawahiri. This is a huge problem.
And I know I've showed that video more than once, but it's important for people that may be new to this channel to really understand. Just like we talked about the State Department saying that the al-Qaeda switching their name was a ploy, here again is the State Department saying exactly what the White House is continually standing against. Interesting to understand that. Now, Idlib is, in fact, by the U.S.'s own admission, before changing their claim to suit the current agenda, as is their routine, the last major al-Qaeda enclave in Syria. And taking it is seen by Syria and its allies as effectively ending the Syrian war. The U.S. has insisted that they oppose any move against al-Qaeda in Idlib. This is clearly defending the terrorist group, the culprit they claim for 9/11. And now once again stating unequivocally that it is no longer just about chemical weapons, but now just any attack on the terrorist-held area. And the next article coming from South Front, always doing an excellent job in regard to Syria coverage, this one entitled, "Now U.S. Threatens to Punish Syria for Any Attack on Idlib." Something we've been keeping up on. This was slipped out there early by Heather Newart and others, but now it's roundly being pointed out by all of them. Trump, the administration, Nikki Haley, Heather Newart, the State, all of them saying point blank, if anything happens, there will be repercussions. Very important sidestep to what they've been saying from before. So on September 12th, in an interview with Fox News, Nikki Haley claimed that U.S. and its allies would address any attack on civilians in Syria's Idlib province, not just a chemical attack. And she said that any attack that hit civilians in Idlib would be dealt with by the U.S. and allies. of course, throwing in the civilians' claim in there, basically meaning in their words that any attack, knowing that this is a terrorist-held province, would indicate in their eyes an attack on civilians. Haley also warned Russia and Iran of using chemical weapons, of course. Quote, what we told the Syrians, the Russians, and the Iranians was, well, twice, we have warned you not to use chemical weapons. Twice you have used it, and twice President Trump has acted. Don't test us again, she says, because I think the odds are very much against them. And we're very just bad grammatic, just her overall bad English in her statement. Nonetheless, regardless, she's putting forward the same thing over and over and over. And you need to recognize this is the same thing every day with nothing really changing, reiterating, and now also saying, well, and just any attack in general. She was referring to the two previous alleged uses of chemical weapons by the Syrian government in April 2017. And these are important to understand, too, that these both incidents that she's referring to have, in fact, been debunked. This one by Theodore Postel, the MIT chemical weapons expert, debunks official narrative. That's the 2017. As well as the one she's referring to in Duma, where we know that Robert Fisk, as well as many others, have concluded that there was no attack. Regardless, she's continuing to say that these two things that we know, and of course, again, I always point out that Mattis himself has said, yet we have no evidence to support those claims, but she continues to say that they do. If you need any other evidence than that, I find that staggering, but, you know, always do your own research. But the reality that we know that this wasn't the case, and yet she still puts this forward as a fact, is very, very revealing. And she says those which prompted the U.S. to carry out the airstrikes on Syria. She also claimed that Syria, Russia, and Iran are not interested in a political situation, or excuse me, a solution in Idlib. They have shown, quote, only the actions of cowards interested in military conquest. Of course, in her eyes, that's them trying to take back their sovereign territory that is illegally occupied by U.S. and its following crowd. Interesting how that is the coward actions of military conquest. Again, always pointing out that it's essentially them putting what they're doing on somebody else. The cowardly military conquest is the illegal occupation by an invading force. Very revealing. She astoundingly, in addition, accused Damascus and Moscow of claiming that civilians are terrorists and then attacking them, which has literally become the U.S. standard for bombing overseas. As we pointed out many times, Whitney Webb has done numerous articles where the U.S. literally now is just kind of labeling everyone in a given area that they want to attack as an enemy combatant. Even civilians refusing to leave their homes, as we've documented, which is why even by the CIA's own admission, as many outlets have pointed out, Glenn Greenwald is one, Whitney Webb is another, that over 90% of casualties from drone bombings are in fact civilians and unintended targets, yet they continue. How is that even the case? It's astounding. And she says Russia and Syria do this without providing any evidence to back up their claims that these people are terrorists. Which is, again, another point you could add here that she knows they've presented evidence. Maybe not proof in your eyes, evidence, it could be false evidence, but they have in fact presented evidence to the UN and directly to the United States, which we have pointed out. So the fact that she has the nerve to stand up and say that they have provided no evidence is a blatant lie, a bald-faced lie, knowing they have presented it. Maybe not proof in her eyes, but evidence in fact has been presented. And again, she's simply lying. And in fact, very easily debunkable. Disprovable that she is in fact telling a lie there. It blows my mind. Of course, the head of the Russian Center for Syrian Reconciliation said that, quote, a large shipment of toxic substances accompanied by 8 representatives of the White Helmets was delivered from the village of Afs to the settlement of Sirikib to a warehouse used by the militants from the Anar al-Sham group to store weapons and fuel supplies. He continues to say a part of this shipment in unmarked plastic barrels was later transported to another militant base in the southern part of Idlib, in order to stage a false flag chemical attack, and subsequently accuse the government forces of the use of toxic agents against civilians. That in itself, with the things they presented, the evidence of that is presenting evidence. You could claim that they're lying, you can claim it's manipulated, but that among many other things, as you pointed out, even Syria has presented to the UN themselves is in fact evidence. It's not very hard to see how absurdly these people are lying, completely standing. And the reality, too, that this is, again, one thing that they're saying that they're doing, when in reality, it's the U.S. putting forth claims based on anonymous officials with absolutely not a single shred of evidence to back up their claims. Interesting how they're continuing to run with this same Nazi propaganda narrative idea of accusing them of that which you are guilty. Very classic and very easy to see through. And of course, we can move on to other discussions of U.S. allies and the things that they continue to cover up while lobbying false claims at people they want to invade. This one coming from Mint Press News, entitled, "Civilians flee to Yemen's harsh desert as U.S.-backed coalition steps up attacks on Hodeidah." Even in the face of everything going on and all the claims of civilian deaths and war crimes, in fact, stepping up with direct and immediate involvement from the United States. It's astounding that this is continuing, but yet this is civilians are being, these are people fleeing for their lives and still being targeted by the U.S.-backed coalition. The U.S.-backed Saudi coalition, including the UAE, has been waging a scorched earth campaign to advance to the center of Hodeidah, leaving civilians fleeing to the harsh desert to seek reprieve. Now, we pointed out Hodeidah, the reason this is the focus, which they've already admitted to, is a very important geostrategic point for many different reasons, one of which that once, if and when the Strait of Hormuz is closed, the port of Hodeidah on the other side is basically the only other route to bring oil out via water, via ship, on ports. And if, of course, they need to control this for that exact reason, and they're still trying, despite all of the accusations of war crimes. It's unbelievable. Now, at least 30 civilians have been killed or injured in a barrage of ongoing airstrikes that began last Sunday, targeting a restaurant, a flour mill, and a bus station in the area of Kilos, in Yemen's southwestern Hodeidah province. And just last Thursday, the Saudi-led coalition launched a massive military offensive against the Red Sea port city of Hodeidah, which we reported on then. Coalition warplanes and battleships targeted several densely populated neighborhoods in the city, civilians, intentionally, including the area of Kilo 16, and areas adjacent to the airport, killing civilians and forcing others to flee. Over 200 airstrikes and rockets hit areas adjacent to this area on Saturday and Sunday alone, as they were fleeing for their lives. Clearly, again, focusing on that they are highlighting civilian infrastructure to punish them, as we pointed out numerous times, which I'll back up even more in just a moment. The next article, which is, it's horrifying to see that despite that this just happened, we are now seeing the U.S. continue to back these groups. This one coming from Antimedia, entitled, "U.S. puts rubber stamp of approval on Saudi slaughter of Yemeni civilians." Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Mattis, Trump administration entirely, smiling, colluding with these people, if you will, to use their term, the very people openly, actively targeting civilians while they lob accusations falsely at other countries. Very revealing. So as local journalists in Yemen reported, one of which is Hussein al-Bukhaidi on the ground, that over 15 civilians, and I, as I understand, the numbers are actually much more than that now, but this is over 15 civilians, were killed in Saudi airstrikes in the port of Hodeidah on Wednesday. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo officially certified that Saudi Arabia and the UAE, whose three-year assault on the country has been made possible by U.S. support directly and on the ground, are doing all they can to avoid civilian casualties, claiming that that's what they're doing. Mike Pompeo literally stated, quote, "The governments of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, are undertaking demonstrable actions to reduce the risk of harm to civilians and civilian infrastructure resulting from military operations of these governments." Yet we're literally watching them as they directly target civilian infrastructure and civilians. And how does he take into account when we have somebody like Mohammed bin Salman literally saying that they want them to shiver when they hear the name Saudi Arabia, and vows to literally continue targeting children? They think you guys are stupid. They think that you cannot do your own research, that you are unwilling to take 10 seconds and simply do your own due diligence to see that this government of Saudi Arabia is actively, openly saying outright that they are attacking civilians, and yet they want you to believe the opposite. It's an insult to your intelligence. He literally said they're going to continue, not start, but continue targeting children, as in the bus full of 40 children and the following bus full of 22 children. It's horrific, truly horrific. And on that same note, as if that wasn't enough, another story coming from today entitled "Another Coalition Strike on Yemen Civilians, a Civilian Bus Occurs the Same Day U.S. Affirms It Stands by Saudis." Another bus. In addition to the funerals and weddings and civilian infrastructure and hospitals and everything else we're talking about, yet another bus while he's standing by them. Full of civilians, many of them children. Truly horrific. So just as the U.S., in typical fashion, continues lecturing countries like Syria, Russia, and Iran over severe human rights violations, including allegations of everything from launching barrel bomb strikes on civilian areas in Idlib to chemical attacks to sensational spy poisoning ops in the U.K., all of which has been wildly debunked, the U.S.-Saudi coalition in Yemen has in fact attacked another bus full of children and civilians in Yemen. On Wednesday, multiple Yemeni journalists reporting from on the ground confirmed the new airstrike, resulting in mass civilian casualties. This time, a Saudi-U.S. coalition strike scored a direct hit on a bus station in besieged Hodeidah. The strike occurred the same day Mike Pompeo announced that they certified the legality of U.S. assistance to the coalition in Yemen before Congress. Even NPR, of all people, have reported a long litany of instances of the coalition, quote, causing disproportionate civilian deaths in the Yemen conflict because of airstrikes that have hit markets, weddings, and even a bus carrying children from summer camp. The Red Cross identified the 40 children dead from the first major bus attack in Yemen's north on August 9th. And again, they seemingly always leave out the bus a week later of 22 children. That just gets ignored. The bus full of 40 clearly is brought to the attention because of our efforts forcing it through and cartoons by Jim Carrey and people forcing it into their consciousness. Clearly, again, only addressing that which they're forced to. Reports of this most recent bus bombing counted upwards of 15 men, women, and children among the dead, with many, many more wounded. We just read Pompeo's statement confirming his support for this authoritarian monarchy that is clearly aggressively and with impunity targeting civilians and children directly. But even Mattis just stated, quote, I endorse and fully support Secretary Pompeo's certification to the Congress that the governments of Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates are making every effort to reduce the risk of civilian casualties and collateral damage to civilian infrastructure resulting from their military operations to end the civil war in Yemen. Not really a civil war, by the way, the same thing they say about Syria. That's their propaganda. This is an invasion, a U.S.-backed invasion of Yemen to take the port of Hodeidah. And understand that what we're talking about here is reducing the risk. Asking, oh, just please tone down how many children you kill on a daily basis so we can stop having to address it to the media and to the governments of the world that are pointing this out. Just tone it down a little bit. Really recognize what they're saying there. Pompeo and Mattis' certifications allow the Pentagon to continue fueling coalition jets and other areas of partnership such as intelligence sharing and on-the-ground assistance by the United States government. They both make these statements even as the United Nations has declared that Yemen is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. Really, this is insulting to our intelligence that they continue to pretend this is not happening. We know better. We can see it. We have people there on the ground reporting this. And even if we didn't, what is really going on there is has been forced to be addressed, even by the mainstream media. And yet they continue to say that they are doing their best, as if that should matter to us when they're killing children. And when Mohammed bin Salman himself has openly said that they're going to continue targeting children. But I guess we should just trust them, because they've never lied to us, huh? Moving on to the next story coming from Geopolitics Alert. This one entitled, United Nations Human Rights Council, Saudis fight back against report about targeting civilians in Yemen. Not very surprising now that they clearly have the backing of the United States, as they always have, but now openly stating that, oh, well, they're not doing anything wrong and they're trying their best. They're trying their best to stop killing children. And now they're fighting back against a report from the United Nations the real point showing you that people, even on the world stage, are aggressively pointing this out as the United States continues to aggressively lie about the situation on the ground. In his statement to the council, Saudi Ambassador Abdulaziz Al-Wazil completely rejected the findings and conclusions of a recent report from the UN Group of Eminent Experts, otherwise known as the GEE report. The GEE report accuses the United States-backed Saudi-led coalition of committing multiple violations against civilians in Yemen. The in-depth report highlights several cases of airstrikes deliberately targeting places where civilians are present. Deliberately, the key word. The report also covers numerous instances of torture and daily sexual abuse against children, women, and men throughout secret detention centers and other terrorist or territories under U.S.-backed Emirati control. Again, U.S.-backed, present at these locations, supervising, so they can stand back and say, well, we weren't involved. And understand that even the targets they're talking about deliberately hitting are being picked and helped and assisted by the United States, verifiably so. Now, however, the report fails to mention, of course, anything about the nearly 250,000 deaths from the U.S.-enforced, Saudi-imposed land and sea and air blockade, which has put 22 million of Yemen's 29 million population on the brink of famine. 22 million of 29 million on the brink of famine. Think about that. It's truly horrific to recognize what we're talking about here. Moving on to the next story. Coming from activistpost.com, this one entitled, Three California City Council's Vote to Stop Installing 5G Small Cell Towers. This is important. This is something I haven't covered enough. But the reality here is that this is being fought against, despite the effort, which should be empowering. So Mill Valley, San Anselmo, and Ross, California, are currently fighting against this. The City Council of Mill Valley, California voted unanimously to effectively halt installation of new small cell towers to accommodate 5G technology over health concerns. The urgency ordinance will bar applications for 5G towers while the city drafts a more permanent rule. The City Council has received 145 pieces of mail concerned about negative health impacts, according to TechCrunch, compared to just 5 letters in support of small cells. The concern is over the impacts of exposure to electromagnetic fields, although the small cell antennas for 5G emit less radiation than those used for 4G. Now, with the vote, Mill Valley became the third community in Marin County to pass a similar ordinance following San Anselmo and Ross. Now, the next story, which is related, same ultimate story, but coming from Free Thought Project, pointing out that City Block's 5G cell tower implementation over claims that it can cause cancer. Showing you that even these local governments are standing against what's happening, claiming even that it causes cancer, which is quite profound. So Mills Valley is the one we're talking about in California, is reacting to the overwhelming outpouring of concern, has taken an extreme step and blocked the technology from being implemented. Mill Valley, California is a wealthy city just north of San Francisco, which voted unanimously to effectively halt the installation of new small cell towers which carry the 5G technology. The city enacted an urgency ordinance, as we just pointed out, after it received over 100 letters from concerned citizens expressing their worries over the new 5G towers. Mill Valley residents cited multiple studies which claim that experts have found evidence that cell phone radiation can cause cancer, which most of us already know. But it's really profound to see this actually happening. And the real point to take away from all of this today is that we can affect change. Even in things such as politics, which you know that I'm not a fan of and do not really support, but that shouldn't ward you away from actually taking part. As we can see, local, which is always the point, the decentralization working inside from out, can make a difference. Even in regard to the foreign policy we're talking about and all the horrendous things happening around the world, we must continue speaking out, taking action online in our daily lives every single day. Because we can make a difference, and we are making a difference. So for today, there will be a T-Lab R&R, but it will be later. I have some personal business to attend to, so it will not be directly following this show. So tune in a few hours, and I will be back for the T-Lab R&R. Thank you for tuning in today. Make sure you check out the independent sources in the show notes below, and do the research for yourself. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.